Welcome to the podcast for the weekend of August 11, 2023. This week we pray for those who have had knee replacements, hip replacements, cataract surgeries, and other kinds of surgeries. We pray for those who deal with skin ailments and for those who deal with chronic pain and arthritis. We also pray for those who are traveling and those who are beginning a new year of school. Our first reading is from Job chapter 38. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me, if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? On what were its bases sunk? Or who laid its cornerstone? When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy? Or who shut in the sea with doors when it burst out from the womb? When I made clouds its garment and thick darkness its swaddling band, and prescribed limits for it and set bars and doors, and said, thus far shall you come and no farther, and here shall your proud waves be stayed. Have you commanded the morning since your days began, and caused the dawn to know its place, that it might take hold of the skirts of the earth, and the wicked be shaken out of it? Our next reading is from Romans chapter 10. The Apostle Paul writes, for Moses writes about the righteousness that is based on the law, that the person who does the commandments shall live by them. But the righteousness based on faith says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down, or who will descend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that is, the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. Our gospel is from Matthew chapter 14. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone, but the boat by this time was a long way from the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them, walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, it is a ghost. And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid. And Peter answered him, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. He said, come. So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshipped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. The reading for our discussion is from Leviticus chapter 6. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "If anyone sins and commits a breach of faith against the Lord by deceiving his neighbor in a matter of deposit or security, or through robbery, or if he has oppressed his neighbor, or has found something lost and lied about it, swearing falsely in any of all the things that people do and sin thereby. If he has sinned and has realized his guilt and will restore what he took by robbery or what he got by oppression or the deposit that was committed to him or the lost thing that he found or anything about which he has sworn falsely, he shall restore it in full and shall add a fifth to it. Give it to him to whom it belongs on the day he realizes his guilt. And he shall bring to the priest as his compensation to the Lord a ram without blemish out of the flock or its equivalent for a guilt offering. And the priest shall make atonement for him before the Lord, and he shall be forgiven for any of the things that one may do and thereby become guilty." The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Command Aaron and his sons, saying, 'This is the law of the burnt offering. The burnt offering shall be on the hearth, on the altar, all night until the morning, and the fire of the altar shall be kept burning on it. And the priest shall put on his linen garment and put his linen undergarment on his body, and he shall take up the ashes to which the fire has reduced the burnt offering on the altar and put them beside the altar. Then he shall take off his garments and put on other garments and carry the ashes outside the camp to a clean place. The fire on the altar shall be kept burning on it. It shall not go out. The priest shall burn wood on it every morning, and he shall arrange the burnt offering on it and shall burn on it the fat of the peace offerings. Fire shall be kept burning on the altar continually. It shall not go out. And this is the law of the grain offering. The sons of Aaron shall offer it before the Lord in front of the altar, and one shall take from it a handful of the fine flour of the grain offering and its oil and all the frankincense that is on the grain offering, and burn this as its memorial portion on the altar, a pleasing aroma to the Lord. And the rest of it Aaron and his sons shall eat. It shall be eaten unleavened in a holy place. In the court of the tent of meeting they shall eat it. It shall not be baked with leaven. I've given it as their portion of my food offerings. It is a thing most holy, like the sin offering and the guilt offering. Every male among the children of Aaron may eat of it, as decreed forever throughout your generations, from the Lord's food offerings. Whatever touches them shall become holy." The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "This is the offering that Aaron and his sons shall offer to the Lord on the day when he is anointed: a tenth of an ephah of fine flour as a regular grain offering, half of it in the morning and half in the evening. It shall be made with oil on a griddle. You shall bring it well mixed in baked pieces like a grain offering and offer it for a pleasing aroma to the Lord. The priest from among Aaron's sons, who is anointed to succeed him, shall offer it to the Lord as decreed forever. The whole of it shall be burned. Every grain offering of a priest shall be wholly burned. It shall not be eaten." The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, 'This is the law of the sin offering. In the place where the burnt offering is killed, shall the sin offering be killed before the Lord. It is most holy. The priest who offers it for sin shall eat it. In a holy place it shall be eaten, in the court of the tent of meeting. Whatever touches its flesh shall be holy, and when any of its blood is splashed on a garment, you shall wash that on which it was splashed in a holy place. And the earthenware vessel in which it is boiled shall be broken. But if it is boiled in a bronze vessel, that shall be scoured and rinsed in water. Every male among the priests may eat of it. It is most holy. But no sin offering shall be eaten from which any blood is brought into the tent of meeting to make atonement in the holy place. It shall be burned with fire. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. I believe that honesty is always the best policy. For those of us who want to be on the up and up about things, we will sometimes find that there are other folks who are thoroughly dishonest. Don't get in an accident with a person like this, because there will always be lies surrounding events and excuses as to what is happening with insurance, etc. We want to be the people God wants us to be. But there are conditions in the world that cause conflicts for us, because not everyone is playing by the same rule book that we are. Jesus said, Matthew chapter 10, verse 16, "Behold, I am sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. So be wise as serpents and innocent as doves." Yet, there are times when our honesty is tested. For example, you may encounter the situation where you have a loved one in a nursing home who is very confused and may even believe their spouse to be alive even though they are deceased. You want to be honest with them, but you also don't want them to be distressed, to relive past pain, so you have to word things carefully. And then you can be assured that they will probably ask the same question again. In the same respect, children will ask questions about things for which an explanation is needed, but you have to hold back information because they may share things they are not supposed to share. I know I'm not being the most concrete as I mention this, but you probably get the idea. Honesty is the best policy. But are we fully honest about all things all the time? We may want to be, but probably not. We may be honest in our own eyes, but a black and white assessment may reveal that we are on a slippery slope. Leviticus chapter 6 deals with honesty in life situations, with breaches of faith against our neighbor, where a person commits deception in a matter of deposit, robbery, has oppressed a neighbor, lied about something one found, or swore falsely. To those instances, the requirement is, if he has sinned and has realized his guilt and will restore what he took by robbery, or what he got by oppression, or the deposit that was committed to him, or the lost thing that he found, or anything about which he has sworn falsely, he shall restore it in full, and shall add a fifth to it, and give it to him to whom it belongs the day he realizes his guilt. A person can be a hard person and have a change of heart. A person's conscience over time may get to them. Sometimes they will experience people in their lives who will change their hearts because of the way they treat them. We do know that there are some people who have no trouble with their conscience, even when they have been presented with their misdeeds. That is the difference between repentance and unrepentance. The person who recognizes his sin and feels sorrow over it can then repent, turning from sin, and in turn be forgiven. But forgiveness may be withheld from the unrepentant. Leviticus requires restitution, full repayment, and a fifth added to it. In Luke chapter 19, we learn about Zacchaeus, who had been a tax collector. My understanding is that tax collectors were authorized not only to collect taxes, but to add their own fees to the taxes in the collection process. It was possible that sometimes those fees could be exorbitant. Yet, in spite of the fact that they were authorized to collect taxes, they were despised because they were also working for foreign occupiers. When Zacchaeus received Jesus, he had an opportunity to turn over a new leaf, to have a new life. This is what it says. So he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all grumbled. He's gone in to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I shall restore it fourfold." Because of Christ's grace and forgiveness, Zacchaeus in turn responds with generosity. That Zacchaeus passage comes from Luke chapter 19. The person who realized his guilt in Leviticus chapter 6 was to bring a ram without blemish for a guilt offering, and the priest would intercede, making atonement for him before the Lord so that he might be forgiven. The altar for the burnt offering was to be kept burning perpetually, and the priests, the sons of Aaron, were to attend to it. They were to wear the proper priestly garments, and the ashes from the altar were to be disposed of in a clean place. Wood was to be kept burning on the altar, and the fat of the peace offerings were to be offered on it each day. Some of the offerings were to be made for the provision and sustenance of the priests. Flour of the grain offering with oil and frankincense were to be put on the altar, with some burned as a memorial portion with a pleasing aroma to the Lord. The rest was for Aaron and his sons. Seeing as their occupation was to tend the altars and to work in the tabernacle, they really didn't have another occupation, so it was the people who brought offerings that provided for them. We also need to see this as God's gift to them, with God providing through the people who brought the grain offerings. Every grain offering was to be completely burned and not eaten, half in the morning, half in the evening. As for the portion for Aaron and his sons, it was to be eaten unleavened in a holy place in the court of the tent of meeting. Verses 24 plus talk about the requirements for the sin offering. It was to be killed in the same place where the burnt offering was killed. The sin offering was most holy. When we think of holy things, we ought to think of them as perfectly clean, free of blemishes. The priest who offered the meat for sin was to eat it, and it was to be eaten in a holy place in the court of the tent of meeting. These things in turn made the priest properly holy for the task of ministering. Verse 27 decrees, "Whatever touches its flesh shall be holy, and when any of its blood is splashed on a garment, you shall wash that on which it was splashed in a holy place." The blood and the offering were sacred. They were to be treated with the utmost honor and respect. They belonged to God now, and whatever touched them became holy. If the blood was boiled in an earthenware vessel, pottery, the vessel was to be broken. A garment on which it splashed was to be washed in a holy place. Completely cleansing something or creating 100% purity is difficult to impossible. We have some off-white carpet upstairs, which has probably been in the house since it was built around the year 2000. The people before us had kids, and of course we have a daughter. It is hard to keep carpet, especially white carpet, completely clean with kids and dogs. However, I had my own mishap. I placed some coffee on a stand that I had near the middle of the floor. I know it's not the most logical place. I had probably moved the stand there to maneuver something, but I tripped on the stand, carelessly, knocking it over, and left a great big coffee stain in the middle of the off-white floor. I know that there have to be ways of cleaning coffee off carpet and making it pristine again, but I didn't have anything like that on hand. I greatly reduced the darkness of the stain, but it could be seen nonetheless. It is hard to get things completely clean, returning them to being completely pristine. In the same respect, if you were to secure a coin of precious metal, a silver coin, perhaps, they are never described as 100% pure silver. I don't think that's even possible. There will always be tiny impurities in them. Therefore, the best specimens will be described as 99.9% pure. When the sacrifice is made, God makes it 100% pure. Therefore, even our best objects become impure in comparison. Even a bronze vessel had to be scoured and rinsed after the blood of the sacrifice was boiled in it. Every male among the priests was allowed to eat of the sacrifice, but if any of its blood was brought into the tent of meeting, it was not to be eaten, it was to be burned with fire. When we deal with the sacrament of the altar, we are dealing with a holy thing. When we eat of it, our sins are forgiven. We are receiving Christ's body and blood in the bread and the wine. Inevitably, pastors will splash some of the wine, as careful as they may be, and some of the host, the bread, may be dropped on the floor from time to time. The story goes that when wine was spilled on the floor when the sacrament was being distributed, Luther knelt down and lapped it up. We are to treat the sacrament as holy, but there are times we may use the utmost of care and gravity gets in the way of perfection. It is God who makes things holy. To be in his presence, holiness was required. Holiness and perfection was lost in the fall. We want someday to re-enter into God's presence. Think of a space shuttle or rocket without proper protection re-entering the atmosphere. It would burn up, wouldn't it? It would be compromised, incapable of re-entering the atmosphere safely. For humanity to re-enter the presence of God, we will require his intervention. Jesus was the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And when we think of these sacrifices that we talk about in Leviticus chapter 6 and the other chapters of Leviticus, all sacrifice points to Jesus. It is a type, a model of the greater thing to come. Jesus was the offering given on our behalf, and the altar was the cross. He was crucified outside Jerusalem, an eternal offering, a forever offering to make us who look upon him and believe in him holy. He has made us right, justified us with the Father. For us, there will be no burn-up on re-entry, because we will be allowed to be with our God for the sake of his Son, Jesus Christ. Will you pray with me? Lord Heavenly Father, you are holy and beyond our comprehension. You have made us right through the sacrifice, death, and resurrection of your Son. Help us every day to remember your great love for us and that you offered up your Son for us. Forgive our sins and restore us fully in you. In Jesus, we have life and salvation, and by your Holy Spirit, we believe these things. Amen. We continue with additional prayers. Lord Heavenly Father, we pray for all who are going through knee replacements, hip replacements, cataract surgeries, and other kinds of surgeries. For those who look to you, we pray that you'd bring them healing and restoration. For those we love and care for, we pray that you would restore them. Restore other folks who are dealing with skin ailments, chronic pain, and arthritis. Lift them up in their sorrows and strengthen them. Lord, we pray for those who are traveling that you would bring them to their destination safely. And Lord, we pray that you'd be with all who are beginning a new school year. Let what they learn be a blessing to them and help them to witness to you in their daily lives. Lord, Heavenly Father, we pray all these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And now, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you. Amen. Our special verse this week comes from Matthew chapter 14, starting at verse 26. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It is a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." All of our readings, all of our scriptures, come from the English Standard Version of Scripture.
Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, early in the morning a song shall rise to thee. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty, God in three persons, blessed Trinity. Holy, 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 all the saints adore thee, casting down their golden crowns around the glassy sea. Cherubim and seraphim falling down before thee, reach word and art and evermore shalt be. Holy, 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 though the darkness hide thee, though the eye of sinful man thy glory may not see, only thou art holy, there is none beside thee, perfect in power, in love and purity.
Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, all thy works shall praise thy name in earth and sky and sea. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty, God in three persons, blessed Trinity.